This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works. This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
Friedrich Nietzsche was a German philosopher, poet, and cultural critic. His philosophy, among which is the well-beloved theory of existentialism, which emphasizes the existence of the individual person as a free and responsible agent, determining their own development through acts of will. Nietzsche turned out to be considered as one of the greatest thinkers of all time, and his philosophy has shaped the field of philosophy in fundamental ways. He has written many books such as Thus Spoke Zarathustra, The Birth of Tragedy, Beyond Good and Evil, and Human, All Too Human. His theories are known for many life-changing thoughts and concepts, such as God is dead, the notion that urges to move philosophy away from religion and metaphysical thinking. But what many don't know, as it is generally overshadowed by the greatness of Nietzsche's other philosophical work, is that Nietzsche also had opinions on romance, relationships, and marriage that can be incredibly helpful. Especially in his lesser-known book, The Gay Science, or sometimes translated as The Joyful Wisdom, where he discusses interpersonal relationships and romance. Among the many things that we seek in life, such as happiness, moral guidance, self-fulfillment, a purpose, and more, we also desire a healthy romantic relationship. Nietzsche would say a healthy relationship is all about friendship and great conversations. Nietzsche has many times been criticized as a misogynist who over-described the so-called nature of men and women, which is now often recognized as outdated. Although he described the fundamental nature of men and women as inevitably conflicting, making love more like war than peace, many modern readers of Nietzsche have argued that Nietzsche's claims about men and women are not actually reflections of his views, but rather what he perceives society's image of men and women to be. In other words, he describes the image that gets pushed onto everybody. It would make sense for this existentialist philosopher to draw attention to this in order to encourage people to oppose it, and to define themselves instead of letting themselves be defined on the basis of their sex. While we can never be certain whether or not this is true, what is clear is that he appreciated women for who they were as people. As for his own love life, Nietzsche spent most of his life in love with one woman, Lou Andreas Salome. He proposed to her on multiple occasions, but got rejected each time. However, his solitary existence didn't turn him away from the concept of romance and love. Instead, he kept writing about love and relationships in insightful and passionate ways, which is why in this video we have compiled 4 ways on how to have a healthy relationship from the philosophy of Friedrich Nietzsche. Number 1. Find someone whom you enjoy talking to. Nietzsche says, when marrying, ask yourself this question. Do you believe that you will be able to converse well with this person into your old age? Everything else in marriage is transitory. According to Nietzsche, one of the most important aspects of any healthy relationship is the ability to converse well. In real, deep conversations, people don't talk past or at each other, but truly with each other. In these sorts of conversations, they generate something new for the future. He compares the conversationalist with a midwife, someone able to help deliver their partner's thoughts. Nietzsche argues that conversation isn't just important in your life in general, but especially so within romantic relationships. If you're not able to converse well with your loved one, your relationship might very well not last. Reasons for beginning a relationship with or even marrying someone have always varied enormously. People marry for looks, money, opportunity, etc., but none of these are a very promising basis for a relationship. What if someone grows old and loses their beauty or charm? What if money gets lost or opportunities vanish? The storybook motivation behind marriage, we're told from childhood, is love. But what does it actually mean to marry for love? People often say something along the lines of the following, that it would be to marry someone you...
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works. This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
Feel strongly about to marry someone you admire, someone you want to be near every day, or to marry someone you can't stop thinking about. However, what these people don't consider is that all these reasons might actually be temporary. How can you tell you'll always feel strongly about a person? Will you always admire them as much as you do now? Will you ever get sick of them or need time apart? Will you really spend most of your days fantasizing about the person you've been waking up next to for the past 20 years? Perhaps. But more realistically, perhaps not. And what would happen if that thing that you married your lover for disappeared, however temporarily? There's a good chance you might break up. When it comes to a relationship between two people, Nietzsche says the one quality that one can rely most on to stay the same is the conversation. So when you choose to marry someone, Nietzsche would advise you to ask yourself, do you believe you're going to enjoy talking to your partner right up into your old age? Everything else in marriage is transitory, but most of the time you're together will be devoted to conversation. Although the topics of conversation might change throughout the year, the way a conversation flows between two people will never alter all that much. Conversations are always necessary to maintain a healthy relationship. When you know you're with someone who listens to you, takes you seriously, speaks on the same wavelength as you, and is able to share their opinion while always respecting yours, then all matters important to a relationship can be discussed. When this is not the case, many questions or issues will never be resolved. Any disagreement on how to live, how to handle boundaries or priorities, how to handle differences, etc., might destroy a relationship in a single blow. Good conversationalists are good partners, for they're able to maintain their relationship and entertain each other, even when all else fails. Number 2. Focus more on cultivating friendship. In the words of Nietzsche, it's not a lack of love, but a lack of friendship that makes unhappy marriages. According to Nietzsche, friends want to bring out the best attributes in one another. Nietzsche believes in the Aristotelian definition of friendship as reciprocated goodwill, people who want the best for each other. So, in Nietzsche's view, friends are a source of mutual inspiration and cultivation. A true friend will not hold back in their opinion and will criticize you, because any friend who turns a blind eye to your faults or mistake is a friend who doesn't care enough to address it. That said, they will also accept your criticisms of them without fuss, because they want to grow and value your opinion in doing so. In other words, friends aren't just there to make you feel good, but they're there to help you improve on yourself and hope for the same support from you. This teamwork towards a certain end is what defines a truly successful relationship. Any friendship that fails in these aspects will fail as a relationship sooner or later, for friends that don't help each other grow will result in friends that end up resenting each other. This kind of bond is not only of great importance to friendship, but to romantic relationships as well. In other words, you should not only be your partner's lover, but always make sure to be their friend as well. It's often believed that it's normal to be with someone for their lifestyle, job, values, your chemistry, and sometimes even their status, wealth, or looks. But none of these things guarantee friendship. Relationships that are based on all these things and only lack sufficient friendship all too often end up broken or cold and resentful as partners. So in order to cultivate a lasting romantic relationship with another, you should cultivate your friendship with them. This means that as a lover, you should actively support your partner and help them grow. Let's take a look at Nietzsche's conditions for being a good friend to inspire you and help you be the best friend you can be. First, Nietzsche emphasizes that friendship should exist of mutual joy, not merely mutual suffering. To be a true friend, you shouldn't just suffer over your friend or lover's suffering, but mostly relish in their joy with them. For most of us, it's true that whenever you see someone you care about suffering, it hurts you as well. It's incredible.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit Regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works. This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit Regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's Regain.com/couplespod.
It's incredibly hard to see someone you love having a hard time. Their pain, as some might say, in part becomes your pain as well. And although empathy goes a long way in friendship, Nietzsche warns you not to test the quality of your friendship merely by examining your friend's ability to suffer along with your suffering. Instead, Nietzsche says true friendship should mostly be focused on mutual joy. A true friend will be hurt to see you hurt, sure, but most of all, they should be happy to see you happy. You're the best sort of friend if you're able to relish in your friend's happiness and joy with them. The celebration of good things instead of almost exclusively focusing on bad things encourages growth and cultivation. Secondly, a friend wants the best for their friend. But wanting the best is not always wanting what's easiest or most comfortable. Instead, Nietzsche argues that for someone to grow into their best self, they need to be challenged and criticized. So if you want what's best for your friends, you shouldn't be afraid to argue with them. Share your true opinion, criticize them, and not turn a blind eye when you disagree with their views or actions. To summarize this in Nietzsche's own words, true friendship is the sort of relationship that involves a shared, higher thirst for an ideal love above them. They strive to be better together. And if all of this doesn't go for your romantic relationship, then it will never be as fulfilling as a good friendship. Number 3. Never promise everlasting love. In the words of Nietzsche, one can promise actions, but not feelings, for the latter are involuntary. He who promises to love forever or hate forever, or be forever faithful to someone, is promising something that is not in his power. Loving someone forever is a promise that we often make. Nietzsche critiques this action for one simple reason. You cannot promise to love someone forever, and thus these promises are meaningless. In Nietzsche's view, people don't tend to see love as it truly is, a feeling. Feelings are something people have no control over. You can't decide what to feel and what not to feel, but only whether to acknowledge the feelings that you do have and how to react to them. This means that when one promises to love another for a prolonged period of time, they're making a promise they can't guarantee. If it's true that the one who made the promise does continue to love the other for the rest of their lives, it's not due to their willpower or effort, but a coincidence or happenstance at most. If they don't continue to love the other for the rest of their lives, this means that they've unintentionally broken a promise, something for which they can be blamed and criticized. To base your relationship on an empty promise is foolish, for it has no way to actually support that relationship. Furthermore, breaking a grand promise like that within a relationship will most likely result in distrust and resentment. It may even, at worst, be the end of the relationship itself. This is because the breaking of a promise is often seen as a sign of carelessness, dishonesty, and betrayal. Three things someone would never ever want in a partner. But does this mean that you have no control over whether a relationship can be maintained? No. Nietzsche has an alternative to offer. The promise to always act lovingly towards the other. While no one has control over feelings, one is always free and able to choose their actions. So instead of promising to always love another, Nietzsche proposes the promise of always acting lovingly towards another. In Nietzsche's own words, "For as long as I love you, I shall render to you the actions of love. If I cease to love you, you will continue to receive the same actions from me, though from other motives." These other motives would be respect, the intrinsic value the relationship brings to your life, care, kindness, or anything like it. So when the love is gone, either temporarily or permanently, one keeps up a healthy relationship by treating their partner with care and kindness. This is not, as some might want to call it, lying, for one can be honest and clear about their feelings while still behaving in such a way. Additionally, neither is it lying to yourself. Nietzsche says treating anyone you care about, even if you don't love them anymore, in the loving way you're used to treating them, should come easily and naturally.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod. This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.
...to you, especially if your future with them seems worth it to you. As soon as it doesn't come easily anymore, probably when you find your feelings for someone have soured so much that you can't keep your promise of always treating them lovingly, then you can be reasonably sure your relationship is over. But until then, you should appreciate your partner and your relationship together enough to maintain it and await what it might bring in the future. In many cases, the future for relationships such as these is still rosy and full of love. Number 4. Be a little selfish. In our final quote from Nietzsche for this video, he says, "The demand to be loved is the greatest of all arrogant presumptions. Selfishness plays a very central role in Nietzsche's philosophy, and he spent a lot of time defending selfishness against its bad reputation. According to Nietzsche, it's essential for both self-growth and the success of healthy relationships. For self-growth, because in order to successfully achieve any goal, Nietzsche is convinced that one must tend to their own needs first. One can never define themselves if they're not allowed to embrace their own personal needs, wants, and goals. Nietzsche says there's room for good conscience, spirit, cheerfulness, beauty, and sensitivity in selfishness. Selfishness is also necessary for love, because if one is not selfish in love, one cannot truly love at all. Most of us often see love as the opposite of being selfish. Loving somebody and helping and caring for those you love is often considered to be inherently selfless. However, when we love the way we commonly do, by seeing our partner in a brighter light than the rest of the world, admiring them more than any other and giving them special treatment, we are, in fact, being selfish from a certain point of view. In fact, we also ignore our own wants and needs and expect our beloved to do the same. This may result in dropping a personal hobby in order to make more time for your spouse or partner, or picking up more chores than would be fair. It may also result in ignoring it when your partner crosses a boundary, just to ensure that they stay with you, and exclusively with you. And so, in Nietzsche's view, loving another is akin to having possessions, and thus greed and love might actually be one and the same. However, there's a big chance none of this behavior would truly make anyone happy, and resentment is prone to build up in situations like these. In order to enjoy a monogamous romantic relationship, your relationship should be uniquely yours and your partner's to benefit from, selfishly excluding the rest of the world. Acknowledging this selfishness doesn't mean acknowledging a flaw, however, for this is a core ingredient of a happy relationship. So, when we call love selfless, we're deceiving ourselves and others, which creates an unhealthy image of love. When we feel like love must be exclusively selfless, we also ignore our own wants and needs and expect our beloved to do the same. But like all things, relationships are about finding your balance as a couple that sits in the mutual space between selfless and selfish. In fact, according to Nietzsche, in order to become truly selfless, one would have to cease to care for their beloved and instead treat them as they did before they knew each other. They would have to eliminate any special attention and devotion towards them, likewise their jealousy and feelings of envy. Nietzsche beautifully illustrates this in his poem, Without Envy. Without envy. His look is free of envy, hence you laud him. He does not notice whether you applaud him. He has the eagle's eye for what is far. He does not see you. He sees only stars. In this poem, Nietzsche illustrates someone who doesn't feel envy and compares it to not caring at all. The man in the poem doesn't notice the praise or love he gets from those around him, and instead is occupied only by his own fantasies and unreachable idealizations, the stars of the poem. Envy is a reactive feeling that shows our awareness of our surroundings and our insight into who we want to be. By not feeling it, the man in the poem is entirely passive. The implication is that in order to avoid this feeling of envy, one must avoid any interpersonal relationships whatsoever. We have to stop caring. But love is all about care. Thus, when we love in a typically monogamous way, we have to admit to being a little selfish. The demand to be loved is the greatest of all arrogant presumptions indeed, but in order to love and be loved, to experience the happiness of a fulfilling relationship, one has to acknowledge and embrace this side of themselves. If a healthy romantic relationship is based on the principle of an equal partnership, it naturally follows that we should always consider our own needs, wants, and boundaries equally and alongside those of our partners, not perpetually selflessly neglecting your desires to make your partner happy. A relationship in which our wishes are ignored is unsustainable. Indeed, attempting to be purely selfless when it comes to relationships would lead to denying the very thing that makes love work. We're all a little selfish in love, and it's only when we truly understand and embrace that fact that we can truly find real, sustainable love and happiness.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy.
Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.